wanted you to know about that, and now I want to change gears for a moment, and I just want to talk about our lives today. And quite honestly, you and I both know that it's been a very difficult period with COVID. We hope that we're coming out of it. We believe we're coming out of it. And yet the evidence is still there as many of us wear masks and so on. And it hasn't been an easy time. And I want to talk about making it through the valley successfully. Making it through the valley successfully. And I have to say, you know, sometimes when people preach, they preach as though, you know, I've got all the answers and you're the person who needs them, and I'm the one who's made it all work, and you're the one who needs to learn it. That's not my attitude today. My attitude is, I've been going through hard times too. It's been a tough time. And I'm going to be like one beggar showing other beggars where to find bread. Is that okay? And I'll share with you, even right now, my wife has a lot of physical problems, very difficult. They told her she has cirrhosis of the liver. She's lost a lot of weight, all kinds of things. We're in a valley. We're in the valley of the shadow of death. That's what we're dealing with. But you want to know something? That's not my faith. My faith is in the living God who heals. My faith is in the living God who brings life. And even though we've been going through a valley, we've been praying, we've been doing the doctor thing, but more than that, we've been praying. She had lost a lot of weight, but in the last number of months, she's gained back a fair amount of weight. We're seeing some things turn around because we're not going to give in to the lies of the enemy. We're not going to give in to doubt. We're not going to give up, but we're going to go forward. And so I want to talk about the faith that moves us forward and some of the things that help us during the time that we're going through the valley. And so the first thing we need to know about this period of time is that nothing takes God by surprise. This was not a surprise to him. It didn't happen, and he's like, oh, gee, I didn't know that was going to happen. Now what am I going to do? You know, it's like when the Israelites faced giants and faced fortified cities and faced armies, none of it was a surprise to God. He already had a plan. He already had a way through all of these things. And in fact, Psalm 23 describes, I believe, where a lot of us has been living. And it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. And I think that's where we've been, is the valley of the shadow of death. And that's a challenging place. But the promise of God right from the beginning is, I will be with you. And so that's very important to remember. But during this time, one thing that God has helped me with through it is there's been some songs that really ministered life to my heart. And so as I'm sharing this message, I'm going to share the words to some of those songs. And you may recognize them. One is Protector, one is Goodness of God, one is Waymaker, and one is The Blessing. So I want to just talk about some principles and promises to help us make it through the valley. The first thing that's very, very important is don't put your faith in the enemy's word. Don't put your faith in the enemy's promises and lies. And that's a very easy thing to do when we're down and hurting in a valley. And, you know, one of the things that happens is this. The enemy will say to you, will whisper to you in your mind, the way that it was yesterday, and the way that it is today, so it will be tomorrow, and even worse. You were in a valley yesterday, and you're in a valley today, and the valley will never end. It will just get deeper. That's what the enemy says. That's a lie that he brings to us all of the time. And what I found is that I always, day by day, I always have a choice. Just like Adam and Eve had a choice when Satan lied to them and said, you're not going to really die. Hey, the tree is good. They made a choice to put their faith in the lies of the enemy. So every day we have a choice. God is always speaking to us through his word and by his spirit, and he's raising up in our spirit his precious promises. But all the time the enemy is coming and saying, no, it's bad, and it's only going to get worse. And we always have a choice. Who are we going to listen to, and what are we going to do? In Ephesians 6:16, it talks about the shield of faith, a shield against the fiery darts of the enemy. And those fiery darts literally are lies. That's what they are. They're lies. And here's the problem I've found in my life, and I think you might relate to it. During the times of valleys, when my heart is discouraged and my mind is discouraged and I feel at my lowest place, often my arms are hanging down and the shield is not up. And when the shield isn't up, guess what's happening to my body with fiery darts? I'm a prime target. I just keep getting hit and hit and hit. And the point is that the time that the shield is needed of faith more than any other time is in the bottom of the valley. That's when you have to lift it up. When you're feeling the very worst is the time that your faith is the most important. Because to be very honest, what I found in life is that what is going to happen in the future is not as powerful in my life or even the circumstances of today. The most powerful thing in my life is what do I believe is going to happen tomorrow? Do I believe the promises of God are going to be carried out tomorrow in my life, or do I believe the lies of Satan that it's always going to be bad and only get worse? There's an interesting story that was told of a man who's walking to a city, and in that city there was 10,000 people who died. And on the way into the city, this man meets death. And death is coming out of the city. And this man begins to chastise death and tell death off for killing the 10,000 people. But death says, no, you don't understand. I only killed 1,000. It was fear that killed the other 9,000. And you know, sometimes it's our fear instead of our faith that's the killer, rather than a lot of other things that, like our circumstances. And fear influences us to trust more in Satan's lies than in the very certain promises of God. And so there's a song that ministered to me during these hard times. It's by Kim Walker. It's called Protector. And I want you to hear the words because these words have some real power in them, and they're for you and I today. And this is it. She says, she sings, I come out of agreement with the lie that you have left me on my own. I'm not alone. I come out of agreement with the worry and the fear I've come to know. No, they will not have a hold on me. Protector, you never, never, never let me go. You said you wouldn't leave me and you won't. You're right by my side. Protector, I come into agreement with the truth that you are who you say you are. I can trust your heart. I come into agreement with what heaven has declared over my life because I know that you fight for me. Protector, you never, never, never let me go. You said you wouldn't leave me and you won't. You're right by my side. You hide me in the shadow of your wings. Your presence is my peace and my covering, my song in the night. Protector, protector, no weapon, no worry will prosper against me. No darkness and no evil will tease or torment me because all power and dominion to one name is given. My fortress, my freedom, my refuge, my Jesus. See, there's a time to remind ourselves of things. There's a time to remind ourselves of the promises of God. There's a time to rebuke the lies that have been living in our heart and our spirit and bringing us down. And there's a time to remember that we have a protector who has all power and all dominion, and it's in one name, the name of Jesus Christ. So we have to remember that. The second thing in the valley is this. It's remembering God's goodness in your life, in past days, past months, and past years. You know, in Judges chapter 2, verse 10, it says this, it's about the Israelites. After the whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. We as human beings forget very quickly, don't we? You know, you remember those miracles God did? Parting the Red Sea, the plagues of Egypt, manna coming from heaven, all these different things that God did, incredible miracles, but now, just so quickly, a generation comes up and they don't remember any of that. And you know, I could really tell them off for their bad memories, except that I'm the same way. When I get deep down in the valley, all of a sudden I forget all the goodness of God in my life in the past. But I know that's just me, not you, right? You guys would never do that. And so it's in that time, one of the things that I've done going through this is I sat down and I wrote out a faith journal. And I started writing down all the miracles and all the wonderful things God had done for me throughout my life. You know, I filled 25 pages. And as I did that, guess what happened to my spirit? It rose up because I was remembering I was bringing to remembrance the goodness of God. And that's something that we have to do. It's about the goodness of God by Jen Johnson. Here's what it says. I love you, Lord. Your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. Because all my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I'm able, I'm going to sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You've led me through the fire, and in darkest night, you're close like no other. I've known you as a father, and I've known you as a friend, and I've lived in the goodness of God. And all my life, you have been faithful, and all my life, you have been so, so good. And with every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. You know, when I heard this song, and when I just joined it in singing, it did something in my spirit. You know, I'm trying not to cry. I don't do that a lot, but anyway. But it did something in my spirit. And we have to sometimes remind ourselves of the goodness of our God, because he has been so good to us for so many years. And the valley is just a short period of time that we're going to come out of, but it's a discouraging time when we have to remember who our God is and his goodness. Another thing is that we need to remember that God is powerful and that he desires to save, that he does things, that he's not a dead God, that he's not a faraway God, that he is one who is active. This other song that really spoke to me in this area was one that, as I was just singing it, it made a huge difference. It's called Waymaker. And here's what it says. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, turning lives around. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. You know, one of the things that I've always liked was that story many of you are aware of called Footprints in the Sand. And this guy is seeing a dream, and in the dream he sees that there's footprints in the sand, and that during his most difficult, during the good times there's two sets of footprints, but during the most difficult times there's only one. And he says to God in the dream, why did you leave me during those difficult times? There's only one set of footprints. And God says to him, nope, I didn't leave you. I was carrying you at that time. Those are my footprints you're looking at. I don't know about you, but that's how it's felt a lot the last year and a half for me. I'm like, there's only one set of footprints right now. It's not mine, you know. But that's our God who will carry us. I think it was 9 months ago, I had the wonderful experience of being run over by a car. Anyone ever get to do that? It's really interesting. I was in a parking lot and actually taking a suitcase into our apartment where we were staying, and a car going about 30 miles an hour backed up and hit me. And I saw it about a tenth of a second before it hit me out of the corner of my eye. I didn't even have time to pray. You know, at least I didn't even have time for, oh, Jesus, because I saw it and then I was on the ground looking up at the sky, and it had just hit me, and my wife saw it, some other people, and they came running over to see if I was alive and are you okay and all this stuff. And I'm lying there looking up and I'm wondering, how am I? Is anything broken? I had no idea. I'm just lying there. I know I can see. I'm looking up, but that's all I knew. So anyway, I started testing things, and I found that I could get up, and I could walk. And you know what else I found? I found that I didn't even have a little scratch on my body. And I was wearing shorts. I should have had a lot of scratches. I didn't even have a scratch. I didn't have a bruise. I didn't have anything. In fact, I was glad that they were there to see it happen, so I didn't know I was being delusional. And so the next day I'm waiting, you know, is there going to be whiplash? Is there going to be sore muscles? Is there all these things? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. The time went on another week. I got hit by a car. I got mowed over and nothing. It didn't have any influence. Now, either I'm Superman or his angels are watching over me. And I know and I believe that his angels were watching over me. I've had a lot worse time falling off my bike than I had getting hit by a car because my God was watching over me. And I want you to know that so many times in your life, when you think you are alone, you're not alone. You have no idea how many times God has saved your life through his angels watching over you. I bet you when we get into heaven that we're going to be astounded when we get to see our own history at how many times God saved us that we didn't even know about. Because our God cares about us, and he loves us, and he watches over us. There's an interesting story in 2 Kings chapter 6. There's Elisha and his servant, and people are coming to arrest Elisha, and the servant is freaking out. And Elisha says, you don't have to be worried. We have a lot more that are for us than who are against us coming to arrest us. And the servant's like, huh? And so Elisha prays, God, open his eyes. And his eyes are open, and he sees there's like 10,000 angels surrounding them, a mighty army. And you want to know something? You guys, me and you, both of us, all of us, there's many, many times we're surrounded by 10,000 angels, and we don't even know it, who are keeping us safe from every attack of the enemy. Because our God is a faithful God, and he's a powerful God. He cares about his children, and he watches over his children. And then the last thing I want to talk about is this. Remember that you can have joy even in the valley. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, you can have joy. Why? Because it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Thou art with me. And again, the Bible says this, in his presence is fullness of joy. Who is joy? Just the way God is love, God is joy. And in his presence is fullness of joy. And we can walk through the darkest time and the worst time of our life, but as long as we recognize the presence of God with us, we can have the joy of his presence in the hardest times. And so we need to remember that. In Psalm 23, I want to tell you some of the things, then I'll read it. Here's the promises in Psalm 23. There's a promise of provision, of refreshing, of guidance, of freedom from fear, of God's presence, God's comfort that will make it through, and of a future in the land of the living with God's goodness. That's Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is a psalm of COVID. It is a psalm of the valley of death. The Lord is my shepherd. I won't lack for anything. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. How many of you felt like it would be a good time for your soul to get refreshed? He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord. You know, in Hebrews 12:2, it talks about Jesus' valley, the valley of the shadow of death that Jesus went through. It talks about how Jesus was facing the cross, and Jesus knew what was going to happen at the cross. He knew he was going to suffer and die. He knew he's going to lose all of his friends, that they would desert him. He knew that he would have our sin put on him so that he was so evil and disgusting that his own father had to be separated from him. All that stuff he knew, and the Bible says that he was able to make it through that. Why? Because of the joy that was set before him. He looked beyond the cross to the results of the cross and the joy of having you and I as his brothers and sisters and the salvation that he was going to bring. And one of the things God is calling us to do in the valley is to remember that the valley is not forever, but there's an end to the valley and that there's joy that's set before us, that he is still getting ready to bless us in the land of the living and multiply our fruit and our lives and so many blessings in our lives. But we have to remember that that's going to be happening, because the valley feels like it's going to go on forever. There's this song with Elevation Worship. It's called The Blessing. Carrie Job and Cody Carnes are one of the ones that sing it, that it's really significant. And it says this: "The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace." And if you haven't heard this song, please go on YouTube and listen to it, because this is not a normal song. This is a prophetic anointed song that God is using to minister life to his people. And if you haven't heard it and had that, you need it. I don't care who you are. You do. And by the way, I don't have any rights to the song. I don't get any money off it. This is a paid or unpaid commercial. But you need to listen to it. But listen, "The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. May his favor be upon you and 1,000 generations and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you. He is with you in the morning, in the evening, in your coming, in your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you. He is for you." And you know, I just, in the darkest times, I was just singing this song, worshiping God, and just reminding my spirit, he's for me. He's for me. But then at the same time, I really like that part about be upon your family and your children, and their children, and their children. Because I've got one grandchild. And I was thinking, you know, God, as I'm singing this song, I'm thinking, yeah, I want that. Lots of children and grandchildren, more, you know, and so on. And so just in the midst of all that, as I'm during the times that I'm worshiping to this song, I find out that my daughter is pregnant with our second grandchild, who is going to be a daughter, and her name will be Joy. And then within a few weeks, I found out that my son's wife is pregnant with our third grandchild, who's going to be a daughter, and her name will be Elizabeth. And it's like, yay! All right, God, you know, it's like your family and your children and your children. And I'm like, yeah, God, just keep multiplying them kids. You know, I want a bunch of grandkids. But, you know, it was God's way in my heart of showing me it's not over. There's a future. There's a blessing. There's things that I'm doing. You're going to see life, and you're going to see wonderful things. The valley does not define you, and the valley doesn't last forever. It's only a certain period of time, and it's a time where you can still have my presence and my joy, and you can grow in your faith in me so that when you come out, you're stronger, and you're able to share the comfort that you have received with the people around you throughout the rest of your life, because you've learned how to make it through valleys. I'd like to ask you to stand, and I just want to pray over you. And again, you know, the Bible says to encourage one another with the comfort you yourself have received, and that's what I want to do right now. So, Father, I just come to you right now in the precious and holy name of Jesus. I thank you that every one of your promises is yes and amen in Jesus Christ. I thank you that your promise is that in the valleys your presence is with us, and that in your presence is fullness of joy. And Lord, I know that some people are feeling fine today, but other people are feeling lower than they've ever felt in their life or in years. And some people are feeling this valley so much more than others. And so, Father, I pray for anyone in this congregation today, or anyone listening or watching by web, that right now, that by your Holy Spirit, that you would help them to lift up their shield of faith, that you would help them to remember the goodness of God and the land of the living, that you'd help them to remember your great and precious promises. Father, I thank you for that. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I come against every lying demon of Satan that has been bringing these people down, and I come against every lie that's saying God isn't good, that's saying that the valley will go on forever, that's saying it's always this, be this bad or worse. I come against every lying demon and every lie in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I break their power over everyone hearing these words. Right now, I break it in Jesus' name. And I come against every work of the enemy that's bringing down the people of God in their hearts and in their spirits. And right now I say, Father, please send your precious Holy Spirit, afresh and anew, to fall on your people now, to encourage their heart, to give them new hope and new faith, and to just fill them with your presence and your joy. We just welcome your work and your power, Holy Spirit of God. We say, come, we just welcome you, and we just ask you to rise up and fill us afresh and anew, and to help us know and experience and remember your promises and your presence. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen and amen. God bless you.